Due to the earthquake in the area you are calling, your call cannot be completed at this time. Please try your call later. 212-7T.
With the events of the apocalypse escalating, Los Angeles has again become the spotlight in another episode of the unfolding story of the end days. On Monday, January 17, 1994, a deadly magnitude 6.6 earthquake ripped through the pre-dawn darkness, awakening the city with a violent convulsion that buckled freeways, sandwiched buildings, ruptured pipelines, and sent emergency crews searching desperately for bodies trapped under the rubble. Bill Lyman, a Bayside follower and resident of Van Nuys, situated just 2 miles from the epicenter, describes the terror.
It was quite a shock. Whole ground came up 5 feet, and then an initial just drop. Everything just dropped, and it was just a great big thud and with the rumbling in the ground.
Later, you'll be hearing a telephone interview with Bill, conducted by our president, Michael Mangan. The Tembler, mysteriously originating from an unknown fault, left 61 people dead in its wake, with nearly 9,300 people injured, and an estimated $30 billion in damage, the costliest disaster in U.S. history. It is the worst quake to hit Los Angeles this century. Later that day, William Dykes, a full-time worker calling from Our Lady's Shrine headquarters, would capture on tape the spontaneous comments of his mother in Oxnard, located some 45 miles from the epicenter.
What time did it hit?
4:30 this morning, and it was awful.
Did we feel it?
It was so scary. It lasted a whole minute, I guess, and it was big, 6.6 or 6.8, and the house swayed and rocked and jumped, and I mean, we all thought it was the end. We thought it was a tremendous earthquake.
For the residents of this besieged city, it was the setting for yet another of a series of biblical-style plagues, such as riots, fires, droughts, floods, famine, and civil unrest that have tested the mettle of even the bravest in recent months. As one news article put it, what's next? Locusts? Our Lord sums it up on May 26, 1979, where he says, quote, great elemental tragedies, disasters man-made and God-sent upon mankind shall increase in volume, shall increase in intensity and numbers, unquote. On March 18, 1989, Our Lady said, we have given you the road away from these disasters, and that road is only guided by prayer, penance, and atonement. Unquote. And now we go to the telephone interview with Michael Mangan and Bill Lyman.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am presently conducting a live telephone interview with Bill Lyman. 51 years old. He's a printer for the LA Times for 28 years. And of course, he experienced firsthand the Los Angeles earthquake that rocked that area last week. I believe it was 6.6 on the Richter scale. And Bill, I understand that you live in Van Nuys, which is about 2-3 miles from the epicenter, which was in Northridge. What exactly was your reaction? What did you feel at 4:30 in the morning on that fateful day?
Well, Mike, it was quite a shock. It was initially a raising. I felt it perhaps maybe 5 feet, where the whole ground came up 5 feet, and then an initial just drop. Everything just dropped, and it was just a great big thud, and with the rumbling in the ground and all the other noises that one would hear, and then continual shocking, you know, shock waves rippling to the house and the ground, and with strong jolts to the left and right, which is actually a north and south direction.
Would you, Bill, would you have been thrown or tossed from your bed, or any of your family members?
I don't think anybody in my house was rocked from their bed. I myself was in the back den sleeping on a couch where I do a lot of my Bayside work, and I just could lay there and ride it out and just listen to all the noise of things crashing within the room, which was really not all that much because I have most of our china breaks, etc., bolted or wired to the wall.
Right, I see, yeah. I guess it must be a real comfort and consolation to know that you have the crucifixes on the door and that really you are a faithful follower of Our Lady of the Roses, that's got to contribute to a peace of mind even in such a crisis as that, isn't it?
Most certainly. Seeing the difference compared to what I have received and what others have received even around me is quite a difference.
Right. Is it something, too, that are you able to hear a terror, a screams fill the air, or is the earthquake itself the volume?
Well,
something
the
drowns
the,
it out?
Yeah, the rumbling of the ground and everything with all the things, glasses breaking and dishes coming out of cupboards and things and other things, you know, like china break falling over, something, a lot of crystal breaking. You have so many different sounds being combined together with the shock of rumbling around and losing almost your sense of balance because your body is moving in so many different directions. It's kind of hard to, you know, comprehend what sound is what. You're just, they're all combined, and it's just a horrible element, you know, all in itself, because you're trying to get yourself stabilized so you can at least figure out what direction is what and you know, what everybody else is doing in the house and how they are. And then you're in darkness, so it's kind of a awkward predicament that you're in, because you're at the mercy of God, really, and so you just sit there and wait for the rocking to stop, and that's also one
you
of the first...
You and your family didn't move to stand under a door for
no,
you?
No, well, not at first, because you're rocking so bad, you can't even really move from where you are, because the rocking is with such force, especially in the first 30 seconds or the initial shock waves, you can't really move from where you are.
Right.
Your equilibrium is not really attuned to wanting to step up anyway, because you don't know what kind of glass is under your feet anyway until you start getting some light around, which I took. I got the initial light. I finally crawled out from where I was in the back of the house, or actually I'm in the front of the house. My den that I'm using is a converted garage, so by the time I crawled to the front hallway where there was a flashlight in the socket, you know, for charging, I grabbed that, and then I just came around the corner and lit up basically the whole house where everybody else could get a sense of direction and see where there was glass and where there wasn't. Otherwise, you know, it's a touch-and-go situation on where you can even move to.
I'm looking at some of the pictures that you sent here, and in fact, some of them are really awesome. It really graphically illustrates the potency of an earthquake. However, I see your house now is standing intact, no question about that. Mm-hmm. It's a one-family house. Is
one
that
family house, right.
Right, and it looks pretty solid.
It is.
Did you suffer, to what extent did damage did you incur?
I suffered really no damage at all that I could detect. I have one major crack on the south side of the house, which has always been there, even from the 71 quake, when this house was not occupied by myself at that point. But it's about the only crack that I've ever witnessed in this house, and it still seems to be the same old crack. The house stucco around the house is all the same. Basically, I find no difference as far as the house structure goes itself. Just it's usually the internal breakage of things coming off the walls or things sliding out of cupboards.
Right, yeah, because our Lord does say on November 1st, 1985, I quote, "You will pray constantly, my children. The prayers can reach heaven in short time and perhaps can stop the next tribulation. This is called the tribulation, but will come upon you next. It will be of an earth force again. However, with your prayers and your guarding of your homes, as we have always told you to, with the crucifixes, you can escape with little damage or none at all. It will be as though the angel of death has passed by your home. To some it will seem like a miracle, but to others it's just an accepted part of life."
Yes.
Does that message bear out?
Most certainly, and it
in
really,
your experience?
When you put that into a visual play, and when you see what has been done to your home and then what, you know, kind of damage or has been done right next door to you, then you can see full well that those things have a lot of meaning. And a lot of the residential homes are a little bit different than some of these bigger buildings, such as the apartments, which most of them around here seem to be totally gone.
In fact, I am looking, I'm going through your pictures again, and as you had noted earlier to me, these pictures are pretty devastating, and right across the street, kitty corner, and right next to you, you see cars crushed, you see whole apartment buildings that have caved in, or that have dropped a floor, and fortunately, you have been spared
it's quite enlightening to see such difference in damage compared to one property to the next.
Maybe it's too early to discern right now, but I was just wondering, have you noticed, Bill, that has this prompted any inquiries into Bayside, the message, people you've spoken to before who have maybe ruled it out or mocked it or have disbelieved, who are now like, gee, Bill, let me have some messages.
I have had a couple that I've talked to, but a lot of those at church, they're rather reluctant at this point because they know of what I've been saying and they know the truth, but they like our clergy, they really don't know how to deal with it and to come forward even on a one-to-one basis to talk about these things. It is a little hard for them, and I have had a couple at work that I've talked to, and one that I've, especially at work, it's difficult to talk about religious things because of company rules without getting in trouble, so I do have to be careful there.
Right.
But there are some that have come forward and that I've given this message to, plus some of the little advertisements I've placed in the newspaper. They have seen these, and they know where they came from, so now they're certainly a little bit more interested, and there was one gal I found that she's even been very kind of into these apocalyptic type things, and very into apparitions, etc., but I never knew of that, and so now I've given her a blue book and a videotape, and I haven't talked to her since that time.
Right.
I think I'll see her today, but I imagine she's fully well enlightened because now I'm sure she wants to come to Bayside and everything else. So,
right.
As time goes on, I'm sure others will certainly be enlightened, especially those that have been told to, like certain people in the medias and other clergy members of other faiths that have been written to. I'm sure these things that they've been, because they've been told these things,
right.
And now it's hit them right in their face.
Yeah.
They're going to have to start dealing with these things on a different level.
Right. How many, have there been any structural damage to the churches, local Catholic
churches? There's so much going on. I haven't really been there other than to my own, which has been closed because of major damage on one end. The roof is separated from the end wall, so to speak. It's not totally separated, but it's ripped apart in some degree, and it's totally closed. And on the north end, two large panels of concrete, which had stained glass for windows in them, came out and went inside the church, which obviously, because of their weight, created a lot of damage. So the church itself is closed and cannot be entered.
Right. I understand we got a report that Cardinal Mahoney reported to the people or made it a point of stating that he was dismissing any notion that this was an act of a just God or that this was any type of chastising punishment. And what a shame, because, of course, we know that this is precisely what it is, that this is a message sent by God. He's missing the point here. I mean, this is precisely what God is trying to do, is to alert the people, to wake them up, that this is the act of an angry God, a God who's been offended, who has been hurt by those people, especially those churchmen who should be upholding the faith and defending it, who are in fact undermining it and encouraging the violation and the breaking of the Ten Commandments of God, who have not upheld the honor and glory of God. And this is very distressing nonetheless. And he's trying to give a wake-up call, and the very people who should be getting it are not. And
that's true.
And it's
sad, and that's why, you have to look at what they do, what they say, and as Scripture says, you will know them by their actions, and it certainly is an indicative way of showing how well he cares and how he doesn't care.
Justice and mercy is so intertwined that you can't have one without the other.
Yes.
It's a shame that they can't see this. It's they're afraid to admit of the notion of justice or just punishment or sin. This is all so foreign and abhorrent to them in the post-Vatican II era. And Our Lady and Our Lord are trying to bring the message back, like, hey, read the Bible. Look at the history of the Bible and the history of the church and of our civilization. We know what the price of sin is. And St. Paul says the wages of sin is death. And there is a price to pay. How long can God allow us to offend him and to allow the breaking of his sacred and holy Ten Commandments?
In, you know, in regards to God's mercies, if you would look at the history of our earthquakes here, the one in 1971 was at about 6:30 in the morning, which we had just gotten light. It was, you know, very early dawn, and we were shaken quite strongly, and it was the first initial big quake to really enlighten people of the times, being that earthquakes is certainly one of the indications that we're in an apocalyptic mode, so to speak.
Right.
And yet now, a lot of our earthquakes now are coming early morning, like 4:30. I think the one, the Whittier Quake Hollows, was partially during the day, I think. I can't remember. That one might have been an early morning also, where they give you that strong element of concern by our God, who can move his earth as strong as he does, and yet bring that strong element of frightfulness, because you're in the dark. You have no sense of control of what you are doing or anything else, and all these things are happening around you. And then when you finally get light, you have a full day to deal with all these elements of damage and straightening out one's mind, so to speak, and getting back on track and realizing the seriousness of the power of God, and when he's angry, what he can do. And different cases, not just earthquakes, but all around the world, all these different things.
Sure, that's true. And of course, another angle to look at there, too, is imagine if that earthquake had struck during rush hour, during a regular work day.
That's true. And he can do that, but yet he brings forth these merciful moments of time and these atrocities when people are in their beds, they're safe, they will go through this trial and still have a sense of physical ableness to go about their lives and perhaps awaken and see the seriousness of the era and the time, and to get back on track in his light.
Right, that's true. That's true. And it's that, to that extent, the earthquake itself was very merciful. And
yes, we've had, and statistically, we've had about 5 to 6 deaths related to heart attacks themselves. I think our death rate is, I think, about 54 or 55.
Well, that's phenomenal. When you consider
it's
an earthquake
a lot,
of that magnitude, only 54. But, well, we hope that the world and the Angelenos will see this as a wake-up call, because it seems that next time you're not going to have 54. It's going to be far more. And
Our
Lady and Our Lord have already predicted that the California and New York, for that matter, is being set for the big one. The stage is being set for the big one.
Yes, because this particular quake had no relation to the San Andreas fault, which is the major fault which will almost literally separate parts of California from the mainland. I feel we would probably have a moat between us and Las Vegas or something, you know, around us. But this 6.6 earthquake came from a single fault, which is in no relation to the San Andreas fault.
Right.
And being so close to the surface, where it broke, it was about 8 or 9 miles below the surface, it had a lot more stronger force. In my particular location, it was about 0.59 G force, whereas in Santa Monica, over the Santa Monica mountain range, it came up and hit them with a full 1.0 G force magnitude. So it's you can be further away and get a stronger force from the earthquake from under the ground.
Well, the earthquake happened 8 days ago, Bill. Do you still have some shattered nerves? Or?
On occasion, yes, because just before you called me, about 10 minutes before you called me, we had another little aftershock, which was a two strong little jolts, like up and down, very small. But they probably would have read on the Richter scale probably a 2 or 3, and we've had thousands of those, at least 2,000. Somewhere between probably 2,000 and 5,000 aftershocks since the initial quake, and most of them happen between the 2 and 3 point range. We've had some, quite a few fours. We've had two. I think it was the very day after the quake. We had 2.5 and over Richter scale reading earthquakes, or aftershocks, I should say.
Right. Bottom line, Bill, do you want to? Would you rather live in 2 below weather or to endure a string of earthquakes?
Well, I'll ride these earthquakes out and stay where I am, as Our Lady has asked. I know some have fled the scene, but to live where you are and in such cold, I don't know if I could handle that.
Right.
I'll just do as Our Lady wants as best I can and stay where I am and tell those around me what they must.
Are you a native Californian?
Pardon?
Are you a native Californian?
Basically, I was born in Phoenix, Arizona, but 6 months after that, during wartime, my mother came back to California. I've been here ever since.
I see. Right. So you're pretty much.
I'm pretty much a Californian.
Right.
Lived in several places, mostly here in Southern California, but
I guess you.
I like it where it's warm. I don't like cold, so I'll stay right here where Our Lady has placed me.
Great. Well, it's very interesting talking to you, Bill, and I know it must have been, even though you've probably experienced many earthquakes. Would you say that this was the most frightening one for you?
Most certainly, because of the force and being so close, and because of the damage, you can see that we survived. You can tell what the force was. The other ones were more mild in source because they were further away from me. They were, even though they were strong. And
can you think of an experience that would equal or would be even worse than going through an earthquake? Have you ever?
Not really, because I haven't. Without having first-hand knowledge, I couldn't really react properly to that. Whereas some who have endured some of those things could probably, you know.
Have you experienced anything that would equal or be worse than what you just experienced 8 days ago?
I don't think so. And I'm even thinking back to my Navy days, flying air crew in the Navy and things like that. I can't think of anything traumatic, at least to myself, on such a magnitude as this. No, this would certainly have to be the.
It's interesting. You had brought up a point before that basically it's only you and your God.
That's true. And when you're in the dark, you are by yourself, and you're at His mercy, and you know that because everything goes right through you, and a lot of different thoughts come to mind, and what have I done to deserve this? Well, people would sit back and look at themselves and put a lot of things into a proper perspective, then they would have an idea.
Right.
But you're not just dealing with yourself, you're dealing with everybody else around you also.
Right.
You just kind of have to help those that are.
Doesn't it offer such peace of mind, though, having the guidance from the Blessed Mother and having her assurances that if you follow her message and comply with her requests, you have her security and protection?
Yes,
isn't it a beautiful feeling?
Yes, their direction has been so good. And
even in such a traumatic time as that.
That's right, because you're benefiting, and you can see the benefit that you received, and all you want to do is express that love and benefit to others and let them reap those graces themselves, because those who do not listen and do not care of these things, they will certainly be suffering much, and we don't want that to any of our brothers and sisters throughout the world.
Right.
And it's our clergy who must certainly make a change and get back to the norms of tradition and elements, especially without the sacrilege against our God. This has got to stop.
Right.
The abortions and the sacrilege against our Lord's mystical body is certainly, I think, the two strongest in my mind that we should certainly, and in this country, watch out for strongly this time.
Right. Well, thank you very much for your time, Bill, and I understand that you lost a China cup in the earthquake, so I'll send you one from here, okay?
That's okay.
Thanks a lot so much, Bill.
You're very welcome, and God bless you.
And now, Mr. Mangan presents a stimulating analysis of the L.A. quake and its meaning for you.
On Monday, January 17th, 1994, Veronica received a locution from the Blessed Mother. At the time, Veronica was pondering deeply the disturbing news of the Los Angeles quake. She's very sensitive to these types of things, and it was very distressing for her. When suddenly, she saw a bright flash of light before her. Our Lady frequently announces her arrival with that type of sign. And the Blessed Virgin gave Veronica the following message in locution. Quote, "Do not be overly concerned at this time, for it is only the beginning of the sorrows." End of quote. Let me repeat that. Do not be overly concerned at this time, for it is only the beginning of the sorrows. That's pretty intense, ladies and gentlemen. In a word, the Virgin Mary is saying that the worst is yet to come. Hold tight. Don't despair. Don't get worried. If you're anxious and concerned and disturbed now, well, you better brace yourself, because something worse is yet to come. This is only the beginning. The good Lord has not served up the biggest, meanest, baddest disaster that he can at this time. But he is, and he will. We know that, because Our Lady and Our Lord have been saying that for 24 years now. Apart from the great chastisement, which they have been predicting right from the outset, from the very first apparition, they have spoken about the 6 days of suffering, i.e. World War III and the Ball of Redemption, which will take up to 3/4 of mankind. That's well over 2 billion people, folks, if you do your math. That's pretty intense. But even prior to that, not only earthquakes in LA and New York, as Our Lady and Our Lord have predicted as well, the big earthquake in New York, not only LA, but New York, but other disasters are pending throughout the world. Famines, pestilences. We're still awaiting that disease that Our Lady and Our Lord predicted that would be as fatal and as terrible and as horrific as AIDS. The plague that will take the children, we're still awaiting that. The famine in America, the monetary crash, our depression, the U.S. divided in land by disaster. All of these things have yet to come. But take heart, prepare yourself. Our Lady and Our Lord will not abandon us. We are secure under the mantle of our dear Blessed Mother as long as we persevere with faith and courage and conviction and hope and love. Do not falter, Our Lady says. Go forward with a candle, even amongst the darkness that pervades us. Go forward. Your guardian angels are with you and your patron saints. All of heaven is with you. So you can fight to the end. So you can meet with Pope Paul at the end of life story. But I think it's important too, ladies and gentlemen, that we not make the focus necessarily on the earthquake here in Los Angeles. That's not really our intent this afternoon, so much as the lessons and the meanings and the meaning that can be derived from an event of this magnitude. Whoever and wherever you are, this has a relevance for you as well. Because when you consider all of the disasters that have already struck worldwide, Hurricane Hugo in South Carolina, Hurricane Andrew in Miami, the big earthquake in San Francisco in 1989 during the World Series, the great floods in the Midwest, the greatest floods ever to hit the United States. Great disasters have been happening throughout the world. In Europe, they're experiencing great floods now. In Asia, earthquakes have been increasing. Some of great magnitude. Our Lord's punitive measures are not discriminating. They will find you. But fortunately, we have the resources. We are armed. We are equipped to deal with this. Thanks be to God. And isn't that the beauty and the peace of this message, of following this message? Now, you may remember that with the June 18th, 1982 message, Our Lady says, I quote, "My child, I wish you to open the Bible, the book of life, and read what I point out to you." And Veronica says, the signs of the last days, Matthew. And then she goes on to explain, well, what chapter do you want me to read, Blessed Mother? And Blessed Mother obviously tells her, Matthew 24. And that's important. There's a neat tie-in here because we're going to see the origin of this locution. Because Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8 states as follows. And there shall be pestilences and famines and earthquakes in places. Now all these are the beginnings of sorrows. And Mark, St. Mark, echoes the same sentiments. Chapter 13, verse 8. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places and famines. These things are the beginning of sorrows. Thus, we see our dear Blessed Mother quoting Holy Scripture. And why not? Our Lady being the consummate Bible scholar, after all, she alone lived perfectly the Word of God. And another point that we should mention here, too, that with these sufferings, too, and this is one of the reasons, no doubt, why Our Lady's mentioning this to us, is to remind us that we are not necessarily exempt from any inconvenience or pain or suffering. Our Lady has said in the message that the good will suffer with the bad. And yes, we do have assurances to a certain extent of our preservation of our material possessions and some freedom from bodily harm. But the key point here, ladies and gentlemen, is heaven is ultimately concerned with our supernatural destiny. They are concerned with our salvation. Our material possessions, even our life, as it were, does not mean that much to them. They are concerned that we win our eternal salvation so that we can be with them in their heavenly abode for eternity, because that is our destiny. All mankind is destined for that if we only avail ourselves of the graces given to us. And an important point to note too, ladies and gentlemen, is that these chastisements too, let's be honest, are emanating from an angry God. Holy Scripture vividly depicts this particular quality of God. And in Isaiah chapter 13, we read, Behold, the day of the Lord shall come, a cruel day, and full of indignation and of wrath and fury, to lay the land desolate, and to destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For this I will trouble the heaven, and the earth shall be moved out of her place, for the indignation of the Lord of hosts, and for the day of his fierce wrath. But the stress should be that this is a holy wrath, meaning it is justified, it is merciful. It is a wrath tempered with love and mercy and kindness. Because, after all, God created us. God, who personifies, who embodies true love and holiness, created us out of that very quality, love. And he established guidelines and parameters so that we may grow in the Lord and that we may flourish in his grace. He knows what's best for our existence and for our growth. And we owe that allegiance to him. Where would we be without Almighty God? It is incumbent upon us that we must obey his holy will, obey his commandments, obey his holy mother church and its sacred traditions. And so it is, we arrive at another key point. Why must God then visit this destruction upon us then? When we see the misery and the pain and the suffering and the heartbreak, and we ask the question, how could God permit this? You and I know that answer. As faithful followers of Our Lady of the Roses, and as regular, as people who receive the sacraments daily or frequently, we have been blessed with God's knowledge and insight into this, that there is a price to pay for sin. In a word, it is because of sin that God must punish us. We have transgressed His laws willfully. We, of course, are talking ultimately about willful sin. And perhaps it might be important that we define what sin is. A textbook definition might read, any thought, word, deed, or omission against the law of God. In other words, our human will acting in direct opposition to the divine will. Self before God. Our self-interests. We as puny individuals acting against the awesome and infinite majesty of God. How can we do this? And so we see sin becoming a way of life, as Our Lady and Our Lord say so frequently in the message. Compromised. Our Lord's holy laws and commandments being compromised, and even the violation of His commandments being condoned by even the high churchmen in our Catholic Church. Bishops and cardinals taking weak stances or no stances against the moral evils of our time. Where are they? They are representing Christ. They are the shepherds who should be looking after the sheep. They should be willing to lay down their life for the honor and glory of God. They should do all that they can to uphold and defend this awesome majesty, this almighty God, a God who has redeemed us through excruciating pain and suffering. He shed His blood. He made His way to Golgotha and died that terrible and horrific death on the cross for our salvation. The least we can do is show our gratitude and return that momentous, that mammoth favor with our love and allegiance to His laws and His commandments, that we may grow in His love. May grow in the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And yes, it is so distressing these days when we see, when these disasters do hit, we see, it seems, bishops and cardinals, they can't go fast enough or report fast enough to the news media that this is not a punishment from God. This is not divine retribution. God does not engage in punitive measures. And how upsetting it is, because they're missing the point. Oh, they'll say that God allows it so that as brothers and sisters we can show love for one another. It makes us care for one another. We extend courtesies and we're more helpful during a crisis than we are normally. And that's true, and that's beautiful. No question about it. But that's not the point. As the expression goes, they're not getting it. Our Lord is sending these chastisements as a wake-up call. we know in the history of mankind, in our Bible, and in civilization, in our reports, in our historical accounts, we know what happens when we reject God, when we revert to all types of sin and offenses against His Majesty. That civilization ends. It is destroyed. Noah's time, Sodom and Gomorrah, the Roman and Greek civilizations were all destroyed for less. Our Lady and our Lord have said that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed for less sin than what we're experiencing now. That is food for thought. Does not wish to lose any of his beloved children to Lucifer and Satan. Which brings us to mind too that the present day attitude of mankind is similar to the one that went before us. I will not serve. I know better. We know better. We don't need to listen to God's spokesman, God's vicar upon earth, Pope John Paul II. We will set up a new church, devoid of the holy traditions. Or at least they'll be minimized, or put off to the side, or just as a token, they'll be brought out. We have a new theology now, new morals. We know better. I will not serve. But alas, we know what happened to that other being who said that. He was cast from heaven, cast in the infernal fire. And such will be our destiny too, if we do not humble ourselves, if we do not remove the stain of pride and arrogance that afflicts us right now. Such will be our destiny as well. The eternal fires of hell. Where will our eternal abode be? As Our Lady and Our Lord say, the choice is yours. One thing God can never deprive us of is our free will. We are not robots. God does not want to impose or force His love upon us. He wishes that we love us generously, freely. It means so much more. We can understand that in our own lives, with our own loved ones or the people around us. But how beautiful, though, too, that we have the Bayside messages to guide us, to lead us. Above all, for these disasters, we must be spiritually prepared. Our Lady and our Lord have stressed that. We wear our sacramentals, the Brown Scapular, the St. Benedict Medal, the Our Lady of the Roses Medal, a crucifix, the Miraculous Medal. Pray the Rosary daily. Receive the Eucharist daily if possible. Above all, always remain in the state of grace. But if you have the misfortune of falling into sin, to run to confession, Our Lady has said in the message. Run to confession, because these disasters can strike in a moment. Ask the Angelinos. At 4:31 a.m. is when that earthquake struck. Many people, of the 61 people that died, many people died in their sleep. Not a chance. They didn't even have a chance to say an act of contrition, even if they wanted to. But always perform your duties. Perform your Christian duty with resignation, with love. Some of us have duties that prohibit us from receiving the Eucharist daily or going to daily Mass. So be it, if that is the case. But, like Our Lady says, perform your daily duties with love, with resignation. Do the best you can. Engage in daily prayer, though. That's very important. And of course, be physically prepared as well, physically and materially prepared. The crucifix is on the front and back door. For those who do need them, by the way, we do have them, of course, available. Consult our order form. Our Lord has said, in regard to the earthquakes, that those who have the crucifixes on their door, front and back door, will suffer little or no damage at all. It will be like a miracle, our Lord said, like the angel of death that passed over those doors with the blood of the Lamb in the Old Testament. So it is. The angel of death will pass over those homes that have the crucifixes on their front and back door. And of course, it's important that you have canned goods, blankets, blessed candles, water, holy water. It's important that you're also bodily prepared as well as spiritually prepared. These disasters can strike at any time, in a moment. You must be ready. Our Lord says in a message, if you're not ready now, you'll never be ready. So it's important that you do take the means necessary to prepare yourself. And you can go forward with courage and with conviction. You'll be able to brave anything now. And isn't that beautiful? And isn't that the bottom line? That being, having this faith in the Bayside message, we now possess that peace of heart, peace of mind, peace of soul that all of the world yearns for. The peace that surpasseth all understanding that St. Paul speaks about in Holy Scripture. We have it, that clarity of conscience. Let us extend that to another human being. Our Lady and our Lord have asked that we spread this message. Other people want to possess what we possess. Let us give them that opportunity. We never know who that person might be. Let them decide. You give them the message. Our Lady says, give them the message and move on. We don't want to see people suffer needlessly. Let's at least give them a chance so that they too can ride the storm like we will, with great heart, with great love and fortitude and strength. Indeed, we have a vibrant faith. It truly is alive because we have the grace of God within us. We have His security, His promise of being with us until the end of time. And His dear Blessed Mother, who will never, ever forget her dear children, those who remain faithful to her, who persevere, and return her love and appreciation with our love and appreciation. May God be with you.
We hope that you enjoyed this special segment on the Los Angeles earthquake. Those wishing to obtain a copy of this tape can do so by sending us $5. Upon request, we can also send you our newly published leaflet entitled Heaven Speaks Today, issue number 1, which deals with the coming earthquake to LA and to North America in general. An order form of religious gifts and a calendar of upcoming vigils are also available for the asking. Our mailing address is St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361.